Well, good morning. And while it is a beautiful day, it is also a cold day. So I hope you wear your jackets. If you're running to and fro, stay, and I'm glad you went through the cold to get here. I didn't get up sharing the testimony time because I always figure I pretty much got my own shot to get up and talk where everybody else is kind of open. Just something I'd like to share with you, which was a blessing for me this week. I hope it's a blessing for you, just the sharing of it, is I got to stand in for my youngest son, Chris, this week to be there with his friends. One of his best friend's father died after a couple year long battle with cancer. Another one of his friends, Aaron, was asked to speak at the funeral and actually to share a paper that he'd written about Jeff. Jeff Bolton. I don't know how many of you from this area know or knew the Boltons, but Toria Bolton is a friend of Christopher's, and Aaron is a friend of Christopher's, Aaron Anderson. And Chris called me when he found out that Jeff had died and told me that he told Speedy, Aaron. Aaron's name is Speedy. Yeah, it's just a long, I'm sorry. Told him that I would be available for him, and told me to call him. But before I could call him, Aaron called me. And we talked, and we visited for a couple hours this week. And then on Thursday, he picked me up, and we rode together over to the funeral. And I was able to give him and Toria both, and Toria's sister Betsy, hugs on behalf of Donna, myself, and all three of our boys, again, in particular Chris, as he was the closest to them. And again, probably the thing that moved me the most was Aaron's comment that it's always comforting to have a Hobbs around. You know, it's just, I got a Hobbs around, I'm in good shape. It's kind of like you said, it's like, wow, you know. And all I did, I just went with him and was just there for him. But it was an encouragement for me to be there, again, on behalf of my sons, and also just to help them through this very difficult time. As Jeff, well, was somebody who had come along and helped Aaron, who was a writer, and Jeff was a writer. He's a professional writer, and he was mentoring him. So it was a very close relationship that they had. Now, the other blessing I had this week, I saw my wife. They got the restaurant open, and she didn't have to work 18 out of 24 hours a day. And was able to be home for a few hours. We actually had dinner together twice this week, which was amazing. So those are things I'm thankful for and praises for this week. So sometimes little things are the best. You want to turn your Bibles with me to Romans? We will continue in our study. We're in Romans chapter 3, verse 21. You can just look up on the screen too. Again, Romans chapter 3, verse 21. Starting with the 21st verse. But now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance, He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No. But on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Is God the God of Jews only? Is He not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, He is of Gentiles too. Since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith, do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. And now as we come this morning, I ask that Your anointing would be upon me as I preach from it, that Your Holy Spirit would fill me and give me the very words to say, that I might speak Your truth in such a way that Your people here might hear it. Lord, those who know You and those who will come to know You. Father, we ask that You would just flow out upon us now. Might Your Holy Spirit just come down upon us and prepare us for Your word. Lord, encourage us. Might that peace which we needed to hear today be spoken. And might we walk closer with You. Because we heard, and then we just didn't let it go, but we took it and we applied it to our lives. Help us, Lord, to see how Your word is alive and true today. And not just for others, but for us, each one individually. Lord, we thank You for Your word. Might we learn from it. In Jesus' name, amen. So we saw last week as we were looking through Romans that the law is there to teach us what sin is. The law isn't there to be our vehicle of getting righteousness. It is the means by which we know we are unrighteous. But you see, we have a lot of confusions with the law. Because our society has laws, and the laws of man are very different from the laws of God. And the way we interact with them and deal with them are different. You can't plea bargain with God. Now, many of us have had interactions with the legal system. And we've broken the law and we've said, oh, I got a warning. They didn't actually make me hold me accountable to what they did. Or maybe they said, oh, you know what? You did this, but if you plead guilty, we're going to let you suffer this lesser charge. That's our legal system. And it's not God's. We can't wheel and deal with God. If we've broken the law, we broke the whole law. One part as badly as if we'd broken the whole thing. Because in fact, if we break one part, the word tells us we have indeed broken the entirety of it. And we've been told that if we can break the law in thought, in word, in deed, and in fact we can do it in not doing things that we know are right. If we don't do what we know is right, we've sinned. We've broken the law. well, all this is very complicated and gets us all confused. And we say, well, how can we get righteousness? Well, that comes from God. See, we can't work it ourselves. But we keep wanting to go back to man's law in our understanding of the law. Now, under the law, God's law, little Brianna. How many of you know Brianna? Okay. She's broken the law. She has lied. She has struck people. She has taken things which aren't hers. And we say, oh, she's a little kid. It's so cute. No, she broke the law. She's guilty. She knew it was wrong, but she did it anyways. Ask her. Why do you think she lied? Now, on the positive side, I do know that Brianna, as young as she is, has already asked Jesus into her heart. Because she has faith in God. And we'll talk about that. But I want to tell you, that little Brianna, she's broken the law. And you know what the penalty for breaking the law is? It's death. Not so funny. Not so cute. That's the same penalty as a serial murderer. Those snipers that were out in East Coast a couple years ago, driving around in a car, shooting people out of the trunk. Terrorists that blew up. Well, you can list a whole bunch of things they've blown up, themselves and others. But those that planned it, if they get caught, what will our government seek to impose upon them? The death penalty. What penalty will our government seek to impose upon Brianna? They'd say, are you nuts? She didn't do anything. Well, the fact of the matter is that Brianna is as guilty as the terrorists as far as breaking God's law. In fact, we have all broken God's law. That's what it says here. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Turn to Kings, 1 Kings, chapter 8, verse 46. It says, when they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them and give them over to the enemy who takes them captive to their own land, far away or near. For there is no one who does not sin. So what the law is there for is to show us we all break it. We can't help it. Because we are imperfect. I know it surprises you to know this, but I, as a pastor, am indeed imperfect. It might surprise some of you less than others. But so are you. Each and every one of us. But the law also showed us that there had to be a sacrifice to pay for the sins. That sacrifice has to be perfect without blemish of its own. And it has to be a sacrifice of blood. Well, here we have Jesus. For in verse 24, it says, and are justified freely by His grace Through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus, God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. See, we need to get past thinking that the law is somehow our way to righteousness. If I do my time, if I pay the penalty, then it's okay, because that's what it is in our system. Somebody went to jail, they served their time, we say, okay, you're free. It's done, it's washed away. But that's not the way it works. Because we can't pay our own penalty. So we need this penalty to be paid by somebody else. God has done so. He's come in the person of Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, for our benefit as a sacrifice of atonement. Atonement that is paying the penalty. Okay, law requires that a penalty be paid. The penalty is death. Jesus paid it. Well, how do I get this? This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. This righteousness. See, righteousness doesn't come through the law, but it comes through the atonement. And it comes through the pain, the penalty, which is Jesus did on our behalf, and it's ours through faith in Jesus. And what is faith? George? What's faith? Okay, Hebrews 11:1, right? Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. See, Jesus is our hope. And while we may not have seen what he did, we have certainly seen the result of it. Jesus is the one in whom we need to have faith in. We need to be sure in him. We need to put our surety in him. He's not the backup plan. He is the only plan. There is no plan B. It's this or nothing. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance, he left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. What is all that saying? God had withheld judgment on the world because they had broken his law, until Christ came and paid the penalty so that man could receive it and be shielded from that justice and could be covered over with the righteousness of Christ, that gift of righteousness which comes from God. We in and of ourselves are not righteous. Scripture tells us our righteousness is, and I'm sorry if I offend anybody, but this is the literal interpretation of Scripture, as dirty menstrual rags. That's what our righteousness is. It's not good stuff. But But God's righteousness is perfect. And it covers over our sins and it pays the penalty. See, our faith needs to be in His works. That's our hope, is in His works. Our hope is in what He did on the cross. Our certainty has to be in what He did. It's not tied up in, okay, was I nice to my mom and dad? Did I go to church on Sunday? Or, no, maybe I should have gone to church on Saturday. Isn't that the Sabbath? Let's see. Did I lie? Oh, no. I told that guy at the title place that I had insurance when actually, you know. See, in and of ourselves, we can't do it. But through faith in Christ, if we put our faith in what Jesus did on the cross, and in His works and not our own works, because there is no way we can go through life without having broken the law. And we can't pay the penalty aside from dying for all of eternity. So total destruction or salvation are our options. And God, because of His grace, provided that one of total salvation. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Does this somehow nullify the law? Does this mean that the law now is irrelevant? No, it doesn't. As I said, and as Scripture said, more importantly, Christ is the fulfillment of the law. Not a plea bargain, not a deal that we get, not a loophole. He is indeed the sacrifice of atonement, which was given freely for all who would receive it. Whether Jew or Gentile. Now you are one or the other. Trust me on this. Because Jew means that you are a direct descendant of Abraham through the lineage of Isaac. Or it means, or I'm sorry, and Gentile means that you are someone who is not. It's the same God who is God of all. And while He did bring that special blessing to the Jews by having the law and the prophets come to us through the Jews, He made it available for all of us. Is God the God of Jews only? Is He not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too. Since there's only one God. Who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith? Do we then nullify the law by faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. By our faith in Jesus Christ, we uphold the law. We don't get out of it. It's fulfilled. It's completed. Let us pray. Father God, help us each one to have faith in Christ Jesus. Might we indeed trust in him who is the hope and be certain of the work which he did on the cross on our behalf. Lord, might we recognize that through the law, we are sinners. Each and every one of us, from youngest to oldest. And that by having broken any single part of the law, we have broken the law in its entirety. And we stand before you condemned by the law. But Lord, we thank you that through your love, you've provided us grace and redemption through Christ Jesus. Lord, might we have faith in that redemption, that atoning sacrifice which was given on our behalf, so that we can be restored to a right relationship with you, and that our righteousness can be not that which comes from our broken natures, fallen natures, but instead might be the righteousness that comes through the covering and washing of the blood of Christ and the indwelling of the person of the Holy Spirit. Lord, might we follow you and praise your name as the law is indeed upheld. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'll stand together.